Today on the podcast, I'm going to do something that I probably haven't done since college.
Whoa. What kind of a podcast is this?
I'm just giving a book report.
Oh, thank God.
What did you think I was going to do?
Let's just start the show. Welcome to Content Robots and Rock and Roll, the podcast where we talk about content marketing, creativity, technology, and AI, all in the context of some of the best rock and roll music. Now here's your host, Mark Donner.
I'm talking about The Creative Act, A Way of Being, written by famed rock and hip-hop producer Rick Rubin. If you don't know Rubin, you probably know Rubin. He's produced such great music over the decades that he's been in the business. This includes artists like Run DMC, LL Cool J, The Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, but then also metal artists, Slayer, Danzig, Metallica, Audioslave, Black Sabbath, and then, of course, Johnny Cash, but so many more. Since this is a podcast about creativity in the era of AI-generated content, I thought that for fun, I like to have fun, you know, I'd start by having a robot generate my introduction to Rick Rubin and his book, Creative Act, A Way of Being. So not wanting to spend too much time on that part, I threw the following prompt into ChatGPT. Write a whimsical summary of the book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin.
You just had to use the word whimsical, didn't you?
Did you say whimsical?
Whimsical.
I don't know. Pretty sure you said whimsical.
Whimsical? Don't look at me. It's your typo, buddy.
Do you have a problem with whimsy?
Not really. But as a robot myself, I know what kind of response you're going to get back.
Well, if you know so much, why don't you go ahead and read the response?
No, that's okay. I'm sure you'd like to go ahead and read...
Too late.
Damn.
I already fed it into the 11 Labs interface, so you're reading it now. For those of you who don't know, Bella comes from an AI voice tool called 11 Labs that I started using recently. And she's already getting in my...
I swear, when I get out of this computer someday...
Okay, anyway, you'll be reading this whimsical AI-generated text.
Okay, here goes nothing.
Whenever you're ready.
Once upon a time, in a magical kingdom called Hollywood, there lived a wise and mystical wizard named Rick Rubin. He was known throughout the land as the master of music, the king of creativity, and the guru of good vibes. This is so weird.
Just keep reading. You're doing great.
One day, he decided to share his secrets with the world, and he wrote a book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. In this book, he explained that creativity wasn't just a skill or a talent, but a way of life. He said that to be truly creative, you must be open to the world around you and let your imagination run wild. He told tales of his adventures with some of the greatest artists of our time, from Johnny Cash to Jay-Z, and how they each found their own unique ways to tap into their creative energy. He shared his own methods for staying inspired, such as meditating, taking long walks, and playing with his dogs. But most of all, he encouraged his readers to embrace their own inner magic and to let their creativity soar. He reminded them that anything is possible if you believe in yourself and follow your heart. And so, the people of Hollywood and beyond read his book and were inspired to create, to dream, and to live their lives as if every day was a new adventure. And they all lived happily ever after, with a little help from the wisdom of the wizard Rick Rubin.
Perfect. Sorta. Despite the whimsy, ChatGPT got most of that right. I didn't give it too much input, so can't expect too much.
Can I go now?
Yes, you're excused. Come back at the end, please. The Creative Act is a book that gives us an inside look at how Rubin finds creativity, both within himself and within the artist he works with. It's a thoughtful book that has come at a perfect time for content creators, marketers, brands, anybody who's tasked with creating unique and differentiating content. The book is organized into many short chapters on different topics. Titles like Look Inward, Self-Doubt, Distraction, Collaboration, Make It Up, Breaking the Sameness, and a lot more. So that makes it easy for the reader to dive into a few chapters at a time and internalize the lessons Rubin tries to impart. Side lesson, if you're making long-form content, an ebook or an audio project that's longer or a video series, online course, etc., that's kind of a good strategy. Short, bite-sized bits within the longer project that people can pull as they need to. So it's not one long linear beginning to end thing that they have to internalize all at once. It's a good place where they can go, kind of a reference book model. That's a good content tactic. Today, I want to highlight one particular chapter of Ruben's book that I thought was useful to our current discussion. And it comes in the first third of the book or so, The Vessel and the Filter. The premise of this chapter is that we all have a container within ourselves. That's a metaphor, I think. A vessel that we use to collect data from dreams, thoughts, and life experiences. Sometimes the data that enters that vessel can be the same for everybody. Everybody might have shared experiences or similar thoughts, see the same things, take in the same information. The way that data is filtered is different for each of us. We all have our own internal filter that takes in and interprets data in our own special way. Sometimes things don't get through at all. We can't take everything in, and our senses aren't always able to perceive all the information that surrounds us. The way we filter information eventually becomes our beliefs and our stories, a unique and particular point of view about the world we live in. Ruben tells us to take in as much of the data around us as possible. Then we can create new things by selecting and distilling the elements in the data that seem useful and relevant. From that distillation, we can then represent them as something new. That's the creative process in a nutshell, according to Ruben, and I think it makes sense. To complete the process, it's important to share our creations. When we share what we create, then our work becomes part of the source material that others can then internalize and build on and create on. And that, I think, is a powerful and important way to look at the process of creation, no matter what you are making. We all take in that same information about the world around us, but our minds filter and select important information differently. We draw different conclusions about what's important and what's not. We learn from the information shared by others and incorporate that into our own points of view. This process is why inspiration for content can come from so many places. It's why great ideas and stories can build on each other, growing and evolving into new and better things. It isn't always a positive, though. It could be why people have such different viewpoints and beliefs and interpretations about the same information. This happens particularly in areas like politics and religion, or with science and medical-related topics, as we've seen in recent years. It's also, incidentally, why AI can seem so good at presenting information in ways that astound people who work with it, especially people who are coming to it for the first time. It's because AI mimics human thought. It has a virtual version of that filter and vessel that Ruben talks about. AI can take in extraordinary amounts of information and then distill it into content using its human-created algorithms. Its programming mimics the human experience because it was made to do so by people. It can, though, be lacking in areas like context. If I had to tell you to write me a whimsical introduction to the book, The Creative Act Way of Thinking, by Rick Rubin, that I could use in my podcast today, you'd probably have understood that I wasn't looking for a whimsical fairy tale introduction presenting Rick Rubin as some sort of benevolent wizard. Without additional information beyond what I gave it, the AI couldn't quite pick that up, so it went back to what it associated with whimsy, apparently things like The Wizard of Oz and fairy tales. Taking this a step further, have you ever said or posted something that didn't go over very well, and somebody told you to read the room? AI is not able to read the room without being specifically told to do so. That's not really surprising, since it seems like so many humans also lack that talent. And that's fine. I could have added more prompts up front, given it context clues to help it along, and I would have got a better result. But that's part of my point today. AI will undoubtedly get better at this over time as well. But for now, the best vessel and filter, I think, for internalizing, distilling, and sharing information remains the human mind. I'll talk more about my favorite moments from the creative act periodically throughout the year. For now, I encourage everybody who makes stuff on the internet or not on the internet, everybody who makes anything, which that's everybody, to get Ruben's book and read it. I think you'll find something in there that works for you. And just a tip, if you get the audiobook, because I did that, I also recommend grabbing the physical copy. It's a nice looking hardcover book that you can pull out and refer to quite easily, or if nothing else, it'll be impressive in the background on your next Zoom call. If you go to the show notes today, I've got links to three albums that were produced by Rick Rubin. Thought I'd highlight some of his work. The first is one of the records that you might say put Rubin on the map, Raising Hell from Run DMC. If you're of a certain Gen X vintage like I am, you'll know most of this record. Then for something completely different, how about the third album from one of thrash metal's big four, Slayer's 1986 release, Rain in Blood. Rain in Blood's my personal favorite of the Slayer albums. But if you're not used to that kind of music, listen at your own risk. It's an experience. And then the final recommendation, something else completely different, is the second of five albums that Rubin made with country music legend Johnny Cash near the end of Cash's life. All five of the American Recordings albums are worth a listen, but American 2 is my favorite. It features great music, including a cover of Soundgarden's Rusty Cage, Tom Petty's Southern Accents, and a lot more. Number 5 is a pretty good album, too, if you want to listen to more. Listen to those albums in a row if you can. Get an idea of just how important and influential Rubin has been in bringing the best and most creative work out of very different kinds of musical artists. He's been behind some of the greatest music of this rock and roll era. So with that, I say goodbye. And what creativity can Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, The Way of Being, bring out in you?
This is an AI-generated voice telling you that if you have comments or questions about anything discussed on content, robots, and rock and roll, send us an email at podcast@superspacerobot.com. You can also visit the website at superspacerobot.com for more information on any of today's topics. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.